Like, I can't
no
stay...
No means yes if you know how to spot it, though.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's a Saturday night, and I am Josh Hadley. With me is not Charlie McMullen, who got a flat tire on the way to the show, so maybe he'll show up later. We'll see. But the cat with a good head on her shoulders is here.
I am here. I do not have a flat tire.
Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You know what? I'm not sure what to go with. I wasn't sure whether I should go with what I had originally sent, or I think I'm going to go with your polygamous women dressed like ninjas attacked the home of a witness in Utah sex assault case.
I mean, polygamous women dressed like ninjas, it's pretty outstanding.
That's just the headline. Then when you delve into it a little bit, two armed polygamist women dressed like, quote, ninjas were subdued by a sword-wielding man during a home invasion in suburban Utah. They were attacking the home of a witness and victim in a child sex assault case against the man that these women call their husband. Okay, you sent this to me, so what drew you to this?
Really, it was the polygamous women dressed like ninjas? What? Wait, what? Polygamous women dressed like ninjas? Wait, how do we even, like, why? Like, I was so confused about, like, people in Utah even knowing about ninjas because that's outside of Utah. And you just sort of expect weirdness from Mormons. And you get it. You get it. You expect weirdness from Mormons and you receive that.
Well, in this case, there's also the added, there is some seriousness here because they were trying to assault child. Keep that in mind. The child that accused these women's husband of abusing her sexually. The morals aren't even right here. Even taking the polygamy thing out of it.
Like, this is a special case of something. Like, I don't even know what this is, other than really fucked up.
Maybe it was funnier in my head how I pictured it after that headline. When you get down to it, I think the headline's actually doing the case a disservice, because it's making, like, in my head, it be funny. And I don't think it's a funny case, because something like this should be stopped.
Yeah, I mean, they were going to, at minimum, abduct a young woman, a girl, you know, I can't remember what her age was, but, you know, under the age of 18, who was in a sex assault case against a man, and they both really liked that man, so their husband or whatever. So much that they were willing to commit a crime for which they surely would be caught. Maybe they didn't think they would be caught, but such a terrible scheme that there was no way they were always going to be caught.
Maybe that's why they dressed like ninjas.
See, the whole idea of you wear some dark clothes and put a mask over your face does not make you a ninja.
No, but it does make you, a burqa wearing. Isn't a burqa kind of a ninja costume in a way?
Yeah, this is just a really, really messed up thing. And it's really funny because it is. It's funny and it's fucked up at the same time.
Well, let's go to something that's not funny, but completely fucked up. How about Joseph Oberhansley? He's accused of killing his girlfriend, Tammy Jo Blanton, 3 days after she gave birth to their child, eating her brain, lungs, and heart. Now, I should also point out, in 2000, he was convicted of manslaughter and attempted murder for killing his then 17-year-old girlfriend, Sabrina Elder. And then he was paroled in 2013, and then he choked a person at a bar and was charged with resisting arrest and attempted murder, while he was naked, by the way. His girlfriend just bailed him out of jail the night before. I'm sorry, there's a lot of writing on the wall that this was a fucked up guy. Maybe not brain, lungs, and heart eating. I'm not trying to blame the victim, Kat. Did she see something in this guy that I'm not?
Obviously, she may or may not have needed corrective vision, because this guy was very obviously crazy. Now, he could have lied. We don't know how much of all of that she knew, but surely before, you know, engaging in a relationship with somebody...
And she had a baby with him, so they've known each other for at least 9 months.
Right, surely you try and learn about other people, and there's something to be said for like the whole meet the parents thing where, somebody asks for your social security number. There's something to be said for that level of invasion of privacy, because at least then you would know that they were a psychotic potential serial killer. But it does beg the question, was he hoping to get superpowers or was he just hungry?
What the police report said was they found her body in the bathtub, all bloodied. Her skull had been drilled into and her brains had been scooped out. They found her heart and lungs still on the stove, and they don't know what happened to her brain. They assume he already had eaten those.
As we're recording this, I just ate. And now I'm just thinking about this on my stove. And
I
now I
apologize for that.
could actually vomit if I thought about it any longer.
All right, then let's move on to something just as evil. How about the doctor in Michigan who was charged with 13 counts of healthcare fraud, 2 counts of money laundering, and 1 count of conspiracy to pay and receive kickbacks? How about Dr. Farad Fanta, who admitted that for years he has been prescribing unnecessary medical procedures, performing unnecessary surgery, and prescribing chemotherapy to people who do not have cancer, all so he could get the Medicaid money from it. Is that a
Okay.
different kind of evil, or just kind of the same kind of evil, just to a different degree?
This is very evil because this isn't like scooping out somebody's brains or repeated assault of people. This is ruining the lives of everybody that you come in contact with. Because going through chemo is awful. It is legitimately awful. And to subject people to that unnecessarily to line your pockets is a really horrid, horrid thing to do. It certainly makes the case for getting a second opinion, because if you go to one person and they tell you that you need expensive treatments that will profoundly affect your life, you want to hear that from more than one person.
I agree. The sick thing about this is he could have been caught years earlier. He had an unnamed nurse went for him in 2010 to a job interview, and when she saw what he was doing, she went and informed the state medical review board. After a year of investigation, they found no wrongdoing. Except he's been doing this since 2008.
So how
So
hard were they really looking?
exactly. You have to wonder, is that corruption within the investigators? Was he that good at covering it up? Because if he's been doing this since 2008, that's a good 6 years. That's a pretty good scam, really.
Yeah, he must have been, really covering his tracks pretty well for the most part, because obviously somebody found out about him and obviously he's been caught. But to have not been caught for this long, even though he went through some form of review and, you could almost say it's bureaucratic nonsense that makes these things take so long, but no, he passed some bureaucratic nonsense already.
You know how Charlie is always going off on how we should not revere the dead, how, they're just a vessel? Well, how about sticking in Michigan? The Saginaw, Michigan funeral home that has drive-through visitations.
Oof, that's I don't know how I feel about that.
It seems kind of ghoulish. They actually make a pretty decent case that, in today's, workaday world, people might not be able to get there during the required hours of a visitation. So, or people are in a hurry. So they just have a drive-through window with a motion sensor, and you drive up and the curtain slides apart and you can pay your respects to the dead and then go to McDonald's, apparently. Never have to leave your car. Is this a convenience or another level of just how fucking lazy we're becoming?
I would say a little bit of both. First off, the first thing that came to mind was I don't want anybody who's emotionally compromised driving a car. I don't want people who are grieving to be behind a wheel, because I can't be behind a wheel when I'm driving, like when I'm crying about something or whatever. I don't want to be in that position. Because you're not going to be able to respond to traffic quite as well. So, driving up to visit a corpse of somebody beloved who has passed is really like just a not a good idea. It's
It's
sort
the
of.
most minimum effort you can do to show respect. The bare minimum of effort.
It just, I don't know. I don't really feel too good about it. I think if there's a demand for it, then by all means, meet that demand, do it, and be happy in it. But, like, I don't think that I would really feel comfortable doing it. Just because it doesn't, again, it's meeting the bare minimum. If you're going to pay your respects to somebody, be respectful about it. Take enough time to get out of your fucking car and walk up. Or, you know, send a card. Like, if it's that hard for you to get out of your car, seriously.
Well, and the people of Saginaw have responded with kind of outrage. Quote, "We've been getting a lot of negative feedback because most people don't know how it works," Phillips, the funeral director, said. Gee, I wonder why you're getting such negative feedback. It seems, and I know this word's going to sound weird coming from us, a bunch of atheists, kind of sacrilegious, doesn't it? Hey, drive up corpse.
Yeah, it kind of does. Like, if you believe in the sanctity of death, and if death is an important event in somebody's life, then, well, obviously it's very important in their life, but, like, if having a funeral or a wake or whatever means something to that person's family or would have meant something important to them, then you owe it to them to sort of follow those wishes. So, you know, it's like going to, you know, like going to church for your friend's wedding. That's their choice and you have to respect it, even if you don't agree with that religion. It's something that, yeah, it does deserve a little more respect than if that's what they want out of it. And drive-through just seems like, it just seems a little too lazy, too trying to be convenient for everybody, but really just being sort of disrespectful. But again, if there's a market for it.
You really think this will catch on?
No.
Like,
God.
You know, other funeral homes are going to start installing drive-up windows. Do you think that Phillips, the funeral director, was just ahead of the curve?
I think we're more likely to get to a point where people don't care about that stuff anymore. No, no. See, the real thing is to have live streaming of funerals. That's where it's going.
Well, speaking of disrespect for the dead, how about the Spanish gravedigger? He had to exhume the corpse of a man that's been dead for 23 years and move it to somewhere. He decided to take a photo with it because that's what you do, right?
We are currently in the age of selfies, and it does not seem to matter what the circumstances are. People will always find a selfie appropriate.
Okay, is this more or less offensive than the girl who took a smiling selfie of herself at a concentration camp in Germany?
Man, people are really fucked up. Like, okay, I've been to Hiroshima where, you know, we dropped a bomb and I was like, I need to get a picture of myself in this place just because it's so memorable.
It's but historic.
It's historic. It's a very important place. And I was not smiling in that photo because I was too busy crying on the inside at all the horror that had taken place there. And if you can crack a smile in some place like that, there may or may not be something wrong with you.
Well, in this case, the Spanish gravedigger has been relieved of his duties, and the town's civil guard is looking into any criminal actions.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, at worst, it's just in poor taste.
And
criminal actions would be like one of those obscure old laws that people don't realize is still in place.
I'm not that offended at the notion of it, but then again, if it were one of my relatives, I may be. This may be one of those things where I only get worked up if it affects me. Yes, I might be that shallow.
To me, if the family or the I guess victim here had felt that after death the body should be respected, then you should respect that body. If somebody was like, "Fuck it, donate all of my organs to science," do whatever you want because they don't care what happens to their body afterwards. So I think it really just depends on the viewpoint of the person who, yeah, again, is affected by it. If they wanted some respect for their dead, then you should show them that respect. For fuck's sake, don't take selfies.
So Pete's drunk and lit up again, as always. Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
What bug has crawled up your ass this week?
Oh, it's been multiple fucking bugs, because probably a lot of your listeners, as well as my listeners, try to eke out a living selling on eBay, or at least turn a couple bucks. And we all know how hard it is. We all know what a bunch of cocksucking corporate motherfuckers you're dealing with, where basically, by the time you get what's coming to you, you basically broke even or lost money. So be that as it may, I just got this whole thing going on where I found, don't take umbrage to this, it's something I usually don't do, but I'm quick to turn a buck, 6 brand new copies of Little Mermaid Platinum Edition for $2 a piece. Brand new, shrink wrap, not bootleg, because I know the business. So I'm like, I can...
Okay, I can just see you buying these in the store, looking the way you do, and having the clerk look at you like, something ain't right here.
No, it was a flea market. I don't shop in stores. I only buy from my own kind, you know. So I look on eBay and I find out the lowest buy it now price with shipping is $8.99. I go $8.75. Of course, I blow the 6 of them out in clockwork time. Now, instead of being a fucking human being and contacting me directly, some fucking cunt from Moab, Utah, and you figure where that is, claims I sold her, quote, a repackaged item because it doesn't have the tear strip on the top. And the discs obviously have been used. Well, I don't know where the fuck you shop, but mostly nobody puts tear strips on the tops anymore. Hate to burst your bubble, because that cost about, I think, a nickel or something. So, no, they don't do that anymore. They're cutting costs. Anybody who's bought a DVD, you could basically, the shrink wrap is stronger than the fucking case the DVD's in. That's what it comes down to.
Oh, yeah, and I have gotten brand new DVDs and Blu-rays that looks like somebody from the factory has a fingerprint on the underside. Brand new DVDs can have marks on them.
Oh yeah, exactly. I worked in a warehouse replication center. That was my last quote real job. So I know they used to package the damn things by hand, then put them on the line and they shrink wrap them. So you take a DVD off a spindle, slap it in the box. But anyway, this fucking cunt goes right to PayPal. So I'm like, I don't need this shit. So I said, yeah, okay, just send it back to me and I'll refund your money. I am not paying return shipping. Said it clearly states in my, you know, my policy, buyer pays return shipping. Well, it states in eBay's policy. I'm like, oh, this one's got to be one of these Jesus thumping fucking things. And you know something? I don't sell a lot of regular shit on eBay for the simple reason I hate dealing with these cocksuckers. I sell porn. Nobody complains about porn. They thank me. They thank me for listing Enema films. Okay? Fuck that shit. So now I call eBay about this dispute. And eBay, oh, well, we can't help you because the dispute was filed through PayPal. Well, doesn't eBay fucking own PayPal? Oh, yeah, they do.
It might just be like one of those one hand doesn't. Ted Turner owning Castle Rock. He was able to license movies from Castle Rock to TNT, but it was still technically two separate companies, you know?
Okay, well, be that as it may, we all know what the fucking deal is because they're trying to scam every fucking nickel. So, no, they have to transfer me to PayPal. Well, in the interim, I paid $95 for a movie I just bought. Dumbass that I am, but I had to have it. They transfer me. It takes 10 minutes to get this call transferred. I'm talking to somebody who can't even pronounce my fucking name and tells me I don't have a PayPal account. I said, how the fuck did I just pay $95 to my PayPal address to somebody else and I don't have an account? I said, you're not helping me. Put me on with somebody else. Oh, but I am helping you, Sahib. You know, that type of fucking shit. And I'm like, you know something? I don't need this fucking crap. I said, I yelled my phone number to the thing. Your phone number is not on file. I spelled out my fucking email address, grinding my fucking teeth as I did it. Then I dropped a few F-bombs. I said, I want to talk to a supervisor. You are fucking stupid. You have no right to talk to me like that. I said, yes, I do. You're telling me I don't have a fucking account and I just paid somebody. So in the interim, fucking PayPal refunded the money anyway. So... Oh, no, you think I'm going to take losing $8.75 lying down? I cling to every fucking nickel when it comes to fucking corporate entities. I stewed that night. I got up the next morning. My first call was to PayPal customer service, where I got a nice American gentleman who I quickly explained my problem and how pissed off I was, and that if I didn't need PayPal to hook you up through eBay to pay, get paid, I would drop your fuckers in a heartbeat. And then I said, and tell me something. Was that call fucking outsourced to India or something? I goes, oh, yeah, it went to the Philippines. And I said, that's a fucking disgrace when all these Americans out of work looking for jobs that you fucking send these fucking calls to third world countries who don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. I got my $8.75 back. And as far as I'm concerned, that's not all that it ends well, because they're making decisions based on what some fucking scumbag cunt out in Moab, Utah says, when I know the whole deal.
Small now, victory won.
Yeah, small victory. Then there's other shit going on with ISIS. And for some reason, I don't know, I was sitting in my chiropractor's office, and this was on the news about there's an imminent terror threat in New York and Paris from ISIS to do something with the subways. Yet it wasn't on World News Tonight, only all the places we just fucking leveled and made parking lots out of. Which is wonderful.
I thought of that old joke. What do you think of Flushing, New York? I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. This is something that has to be fucking stopped. It's just that simple. Because these people are, they're beyond fucking terrorists. They're a bunch of murdering fucking scumbags who want to impose Sharia law all over the fucking world. And they just took some poor chick in Iran who got caught posting on fucking Facebook. They tortured her for fucking 5 days straight and then fucking executed her in public. These people don't want to be your friends, and Islam is not a fucking religion of peace. I'm sorry. Fuck that shit. All right? This is all fucking bullshit. These people do not want to be our friends. They want to take over the fucking world. And cutting somebody's head off is pretty fucked up. And all this fucking shit filtering down is, they got people over here, they got operas, they're going to pull some shit. Yeah, pull this shit over here, because I'll tell you one thing about the American public as opposed to the fucking rest of them. I mean, guys like that came up like I do, we're going to hang your fucking asses from the street posts. That's what's going to fucking happen.
Well, no, yeah, I do disagree with saying all Islam. The way I look at it is, ISIS represents Islam as a full religion the same way that the Duck Dynasty assholes actually represent Christianity. They don't. The majority of Muslims that I've ever met are calm, rational people that just want to worship their religion in peace. They don't want Sharia law. They don't want to behead journalists. There's extremists on all sides.
All right. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to my.
I'm not trying to take yours away. I'm just saying I disagree with you.
Okay. You disagree with me. Okay, fine. But I have had run-ins with people from the Middle East, both sides, Israelis and shit like that, business dealings and stuff, and I've never met one that was fucking stand up and was a man of their fucking word. Maybe that's perhaps just in their business dealings, which are shady at best, but unfortunately that's the way I met a lot of them. And I don't buy this threatening people and cutting people's heads off and killing fucking kids and shit and any of this other stuff. This bullshit has to fucking be stopped, and if we got to take extreme fucking measures to do it, look what you're fucking dealing with, okay?
That I agree with. ISIS as a group is kind of running amok and they're insane. I'm just saying I don't wrap them into all of Islam.
Good thing Reagan isn't alive. He would have nuked them by now.
Probably. We would have been in World War III if Reagan was still kicking.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Him and Bush were probably the two shittiest presidents we ever fucking had.
Bush, too, right. I'm assuming you mean, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. What did the other one do? He puked on the Japanese ambassador, shit his pants, and pissed all over himself. I respect that in a man, you know?
Thousand points of light.
Yep, that's what I mean. And what the fuck? Otherwise, I'm getting ready for fucking Wasteland. I'm getting primed up for that. I'm doing an interview with Graydon Clark, a panel right after we shoot. We're showing Without Warning and Satan's Cheerleaders. So right after those two screenings, we're going to sit down with Graydon and do a whole Q&A and then open it up to, you know, whoever's there, which should be cool. And then Saturday night, we're having the Hardcore Wrestling Family Hour, co-hosted by my good buddy, Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, one of the kings of the death matches. Oh, yeah, I got some good shit for that. Yeah, I threw it on Facebook. I says, you know, it's going to be hard to top Terry Funk in a Flaming Buckets of Coal match. October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, go to cinemawasteland.com. The full lineup is there. I'll be there. Hopefully I'll have Grindhouse Purgatory in my book by then, which we will debut there. The shipping gets through here. I'm like, I really didn't realize it's the end of the week, and where the fuck's my shit, you know? Yeah, it's going to be a good show. In addition to that, Goretta, Kyra from My Night of the Living Dead, Amber Lynn, chick from Flaming Angel, Joanna Rose, I think. I don't follow current porn because I don't give a shit. And there's a whole bunch. Just go to the website. Mink Stoll's going to introduce Pink Flamingos at midnight. So yeah, it's a good time.
And then don't forget you can listen to Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete on Jackalope Radio.
Friday night, we'll have CinemaWasteland.com Ken as our special drunken guest.
Will this be a taped or a live?
It'll be live Friday night. If you're
of course,
airing.
This will air Saturday, so,
yeah, so you,
if
so
you go you, in the past...
If Todd ever puts up the archives, you might get to hear some of this wonderful shit that we spew about. Todd's out, you know, barn burning with his film, House of Forbidden Secrets, something you and I haven't seen yet for some reason.
I've been asking for a fucking screener for almost 6 months, Pete. I'll get you one, brother. I'll get you one. Yeah, still waiting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, by the time we get it, it'll be so dated we won't be able to watch it, you know? Yeah, or it'll make the Monogram stuff look good. If he listens to this, I'm fucked.
See how local former Anchorage reporter Carlo Green decided to make her point on television this week?
Carlo? Did you say Carlo?
C-H-A-R-L-O.
Huh. Charlo? Oh.
Carlo?
I was like, Carlo sounds like a dude's name, but yeah, I actually have been seeing all of the headlines for this. Quite poignant.
She was doing a story on whether marijuana should be legalized in Alaska. I guess the station did not know, well, the station obviously didn't know she was going to do this, but the station did not know that she owned a marijuana dispensary, and she is an activist for making marijuana legal. So she did this on the air.
Everything you heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but fuck it. I quit.
I guess if you're going to quit and make a point, you go as big as possible, right, Kat?
Sure. Go big or go home.
You know, the station's all, oh my God, we didn't know she was going to do that. What I love, because obviously this doesn't translate to audio, the anchor, when they cut back to the anchor's face, is of a horrified, I have no idea where to go now. All right, well, let's move from that to GoFundMe. Now, I've used GoFundMe. I'm sure you've probably seen lots of GoFundMe things, right?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Well, GoFundMe is supposed to be for anything that you can think of. They're putting down some new things you can't do on GoFundMe now.
Oh, really?
Such as sorcery.
Sorry.
They will not allow people to fund sorcery on GoFundMe, as well as... The other prohibited things are hurtful or hateful language, violence or hatred, bigotry, racism, sexism, profanity, treasonous behavior, okay, false, misleading, dishonest statements, unexplained sciences or absurd claims, that's where the sorcery comes in, or content associated with or relating to any of the above. In a way, I'm against this because what that means is they're placing arbitrary guidelines on things. For instance, what constitutes bigotry or racism? Is it anti-Muslim? Is it anti-white? Is it anti-black? Violence or hatred? So you can't go fund a video game because you're blowing people's heads off with that? I mean, this is kind of... Isn't this morally ambiguous, especially absurd claims? Define absurd. I find God absurd. Does that mean anything religious can't be funded on GoFundMe?
Really, really generic. They're not saying anything specific because that would probably just be too difficult. But yeah, a lot of what they're saying is open to interpretation. Like, first off, I don't know how you'd fund sorcery to begin with, but it definitely means I'm going to have to cancel my trip to Hogwarts that I was hoping other people would pay for me.
What about metallurgy? Alchemy? Metallurgy. Those used to be considered sorcery, remember, back in Eon Dark Ages?
Yes. Well, damn, I was hoping to turn some stuff into gold, but I guess not now.
I just think this is so unnecessary, especially that they singled out sorcery.
It's really weird. Like, that's oddly specific, considering how generic other stuff is. I can understand trying to curb any kind of GoFundMes based around, like, racism and sexism and
stuff
like
that. The Klan wants a GoFundMe or something. Okay, that I understand.
Like, trying to get hate groups off of the site to keep them from getting money. I can understand the rationale behind that, even if it is kind of... I say this a lot on the show, but the slippery slope, because where do you draw the line? Who gets to decide? Yada, yada, yada. But it's when you get to, like, some of the weirder stuff, be like, okay, you know what? I think if somebody wants to fund alchemy, let them fucking fund alchemy because they have a strong belief in that and let them do it. Whatever, man. Let people make their choices.
Well, how about sticking to that same sort of guideline? I'm sure you've read H.P. Lovecraft at some point, right?
You would be wrong, but I have people who tell me many things.
Okay, I just, you know, you with your dearth of nerd knowledge, I just assumed.
I do at least one other podcast where we have mentioned anything related to H.P. Lovecraft many, many times.
Well, see, the thing is, there's the H.P. Lovecraft World Fantasy Award. H.P. Lovecraft was a devout racist. He even had a poem, you know, got to remember, this is the early 1900s, called The Birth of the Nigger. And it was all about how black people are inferior genetically to white people. In a lot of his work, he has black people basically being one step above talking monkeys. He did not hide his racism. So now his award is being taken to task that why are we giving an award based on somebody who is this racist? I think this is ridiculous because, yes, there is a separation between the man and his work, and there is not. This award has been given out for 50 years. Why all of a sudden now is his fundamental racism coming into question? Why is it now we have to rename the award? Because all of a sudden in 2014, now H.P. Lovecraft and his racism has gone too far.
You can tell this is one of those things where somebody has just now come to the realization that he was racist and is like, I'm so offended by that.
But it's always been there. Read any of his Cthulhu stuff. Like I said, black people are just this side of talking monkeys in it.
Yeah, and it's like somebody is just now coming to that realization and is like, wow, I didn't know that. I'm really offended. This person was a horrible person. And they're not taking into context the time or the place or the anything. Which is not to defend racism at all, but this was sort of a norm at the time. To try and look at that in today's context, it's really hard to just go, hey, what an asshole.
Well, but then they also brought up, is there a weird dichotomy when a black science fiction author is given the H.P. Lovecraft Award?
Again, you have to... They choose to separate the man from his works. And that's what's really important here, is that no matter what his personal beliefs were, that that doesn't take away from the importance of the work. It's sort of like how we have presidents who were racist and slave owners, but we still celebrate President's Day. We're not going to start rewriting our major holidays based on the well-known fact that so-and-so was a slaveholder. We don't do that, but we'll take this one, I almost want to say obscure writer, but not really that obscure. We just take this one author and go, oh, but look at this guy.
Robert E. Howard was a devout racist. Read the Conan stuff. He treated blacks the same way in his work. I am not in any way making an excuse for this.
No, that was not the time, though.
That's how black people in pop culture were depicted at the time. That doesn't justify it. There has to be context.
Right, exactly, context. You have to look at it from the perspective of that time period to kind of understand where this person was coming from. I don't know, like if we were to take away awards named after anybody who did anything even remotely bad, we would be taking away a lot of awards.
Let's move from racism to sexism and okaying rape. Rush Limbaugh came out this week. I'm quoting, "No means yes if you know how to spot it."
Oh, can he just die in a fire already? Like,
oh, no, I'm going to keep quoting. "Seduction used to be an art. Now, of course, it's prudish and it's predatory and it's bad. Consenting takes all the romance out of everything." Unquote. So basically what he's saying is women should be used as fuck toys because that's what they're there for.
Oh my god, how is somebody not assassinated this asshole yet? Like, seriously.
But okay.
God.
Okay, to me, there's a major difference between seduction and no. Now, if a woman is playing coy and flirting, she may kind of, no, no, no. And I'm going to sound as bad as Limbaugh here. You can usually tell when she's flirting with you. Flirting and saying no are not the same thing. Or am I as bad as Limbaugh?
No. Playing hard to get and just going, no, I don't want to have sex with you. These are not the same thing. And no means no. No means no. Like, I can't
say. No means yes if you know how to spot it, though.
No. No, it doesn't. Rush Limbaugh, you are retarded. You are a dumb sack of dung that should be used to fertilize grass. And then at least you would be useful.
How about we move on to one of the most absurd religious claims that I've heard in a long time?
Let's do that.
Conservative Christian Brian Fisher said on his radio show the other day, and I'm quoting, "You want one single item of proof that America is a Christian nation and not a Jewish nation and not an Islamic nation? One single bit of proof is all you need. How we freely allow restaurants and grocery stores to serve and sell bacon. That can only happen in a Christian country." Unquote. I'm not kidding.
Oh, God.
I got another quote here. "So the sheer fact that we freely allow the sale and consumption of bacon is absolute proof we are, in fact, a Christian nation." Unquote.
Evil Knievel could not make that leap of logic. Like,
I don't even get exactly what he's going for. Because Jews and Muslims don't like bacon, and we serve bacon, that means it's Christian? I thought that was freedom to sell your product that there's a market for.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even begin to even think about this, what this guy's brain is like, because it really just must be a bag of marbles up there. He obviously doesn't understand the concept of freedom at all, and having the freedom to choose things like what you eat and what you do not eat, and people who don't believe in eating pork somehow just don't eat pork even though it's freely available to them. What the fuck? I can't even construct a proper sentence about how stupid this person is.
Why are Christians so... We are a Christian nation, a Christian nation, a Christian nation. Why can't they just get over the fact that we are a nation that has Christians and Muslims and Jews and Wiccans and Buddhists and everybody else in it? Why must it be a Christian nation? I mean, hell, this same thing came up again when it came to Pat Robertson again. Pat Robertson again came out and said that, see, the violence in the Bible is not the same as the violence in the Quran, because the violence in the Bible was ordered by God, so therefore it was right, and therefore that's what makes America great.
We must be the most special. That's the idea. The idea is it's this whole ridiculous fucking notion that you get from certain religions that your religion is the best. Therefore, your people who follow this religion are the best people ever. And that makes those people superior to other people. They can't do wrong, and they have to feel even more special. It's this idea, oh, well, my people are the ones going to heaven, so obviously we're superior to other people. And then they just need things to reinforce that idea in out of the sheer fear that maybe it's not true.
But then isn't this just one more example of how everything that the Christians claim is wrong and evil about Islam and radical Islam is the exact same thing? Seriously, radical Christians and radical Islamists have the same goals, yet they hate each other for it. I find that brutally ironic.
It is. It's the idea of projection, where you see bad things about yourself, but you can't recognize them because otherwise that would compromise your sense of superiority. So you just project those bad things onto other people. And so then you could, a super, super uber Christian person just looks at Islam. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, radical or not. And all they see is bad. And then they look at the worst of it and go, well, that's everyone.
Speaking of that, how about the fact that Fox News basically finally came out and they dropped the hyperbole when it comes to racial profiling of Muslims in America in the sickest way possible? Eric Bolling had a 4-panel discussion, so 5 people. They were talking about, should we racially profile Muslims, I guess it would be religious profiling, Muslims in America to protect America. Why? Because it works. He used the Japanese internment camps of World War II as an example of successful racial profiling. So that way we protected America in the 40s because we racially profiled all Japanese people. So that proves that it works.
I can't wait to see George Takei roast this person over a fire in a blog or something. Because the thing about Japanese internment camps is that it was our own little...
paranoia.
It was our own little prelude to a potential Holocaust. I don't think we were ever going to kill all of the Japanese people, but this country was certainly willing to do it. Fully. And that's propaganda for you. It didn't work. There are a million things that went into the war, and this was not one of the things that worked. And to say that racial profiling works is pretty fucking ridiculous, and it's already happening. It's not a suggestion of, should we do this because it works? We already do it. We already take anybody who isn't white and, like, give them a second glance.
They also went on to pontificate. That's probably the wrong word, considering what we're talking about. Pontificate that if we had been racially profiling in 2000, September 11th would never have happened.
No, it's not that easy, and they're fucking morons because they think you can simplify something like that, and you can't. So
this is built out of some of the grossest fear I've ever seen.
I mean, this is some serious levels of ignorance coupled with blatant racism, and they don't care anymore. Good Lord, they have a certain apathy.
Well, I mean, Fox News also had on the priest just this last week that said that the Oklahoma City is the satanic statue does not qualify as freedom of religion, and it should be torn down as a respect to his freedom of Christian religion.
There's some people whose minds you're just not going to change, and I'm not saying it's religious people, but religious people. You know, like, people of any kind of religious extreme really just don't belong in this world because they have not adapted to the idea that people are different and that's okay. And if you can't get your head wrapped around that, then you don't belong on this fucking planet.
Well, let's go back to the Christianity and Islam essentially being the same thing again. Eric Bolling in Fox News says we should racially profile Muslims in America to protect America. And then they say it's wrong that just being white and Christian in an Islamic country is a crime. Isn't that exactly what you are doing over here to them?
That's what makes these people so laughable.
You don't get to have this both ways. I mean, this is almost a superiority complex to a ridiculous degree.
Definitely a ridiculous degree of a lot of different things, I think. Again, it's that need to feel better than other people. And if you can make a martyr out of yourself in the process, well, God bless you.
They are not religious extremists just because they say they're not, if you know how to spot it. Sorry, I had to.
Oh, my God.
All right. On that note, we're going to wrap up. Apparently, Charlie did not get his flat tire fixed. Kat, where can people find you?
You can find me not being a religious extremist over on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab.
You can find me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. That's the contact number. Or at 1201beyond.com.
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Show's over. Too fucking late!
Son of a bitch!
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.